3, 2, 1.
Reed needs one more block. He goes all the way. Touchdown.
Coming to you from Winnipeg, Manitoba. This is Outside the Gridiron with Josh Fry Sam. And now, here's your host, Josh Fry Sam.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Outside the Gridiron. Josh Fry Sam here with you. Thanks for tuning in to what is our second installment of the 30-Minute Summer Series. On tap today, we have the Atlanta Falcons. And the Falcons are a team that really haven't been noteworthy in some years, at least not since their infamous 28-3 collapse in the Super Bowl. Sorry, Falcons fans. But things, for my money anyways, feel like they are starting to look up in the ATL. The Falcons feel like they're a better team this year. The third season under head coach Arthur Smith and GM Terry Fontenot, the Falcons are off to consecutive 7-10 finishes under this regime, but were one of the louder teams this offseason. They added a ton of free agents, specifically ones to the defensive side of the ball, where they ranked among the worst units in the many statistical categories last season. That includes safety Jesse Bates, who they gave a huge bag to, cornerback Mike Hughes, who they gave a couple-year deal to, getting beefier up front with the likes of Calais Campbell, David Onyemata, and even Bud Dupree, who will all join Mr. Grady Jarrett along that that front four, who has been carrying the load for far too long. And they also added Jeff Okuda. They traded for him, who could really end up being a big-time addition if he can stay healthy and unlock his full potential, which the Detroit Lions thought they would see after drafting him third overall a few years ago. And then if you look on the offense side of the ball, they quietly held on to some key pieces on offense, including right tackle Caleb McGarry, guard Chris Lindstrom, who they signed to a big deal, which will certainly be keys to protecting projected starter, the young Desmond Ridder, who is entering his first full season at the helm and opening up some holes for the eighth overall draft pick, Bijan Robinson, running back, who is undoubtedly receiving the most hype among rookies so far. As I said, I'm high on the Falcons this year. They're one of my favorite teams as far as futures bets go. I think they'll sneak into the playoffs this year, but I wanted to hear what an insider had to say. And for that, I turned to John Chuckery of Locked On Sports Atlanta and 92.9 The Game to find out more about these Falcons and what fans need to know going into what is a pivotal season. All right, pleased to welcome to the Outside the Gridiron podcast for the first time, the part of the group with 92.9 The Game in Atlanta and also Locked On Sports Atlanta, Mr. John Chuckery. John, how you doing, man? You staying busy through the slow days of the NFL season or what?
Man, I'm good. I mean, you know, again, we have the best baseball team in the country right now. Atlanta Hawks are making moves. They just signed DeJounte Murray. So we're getting ready. We're just getting amped up and ready for football season. And of course, here in Atlanta, college football is king. I mean, we are the mecca of the college football universe with the number one program in America right now with the Georgia Bulldogs. But then again, that's a separate topic for another day.
Hey, I mean, we could maybe delve into the college football a little bit as we go on here today, but I did bring you on to talk football or NFL football specifically. And I know that you guys with your Atlanta Falcons, I feel as though personally, this feels like a big year for Atlanta. No, like, I mean, it just feels like maybe not as many people are talking about these guys, but as far as Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot is you guys third years each. As far as their tenures go, Fontenot now has his fingerprints all over this roster now, and obviously Smith's in his third year too, but this feels like a big year for Atlanta, no?
Yeah, I mean, look, the biggest thing is we've now got money to spend, right? I mean, that we got out of all of the cap purgatory with the Matt Ryan and the Julio Jones and those kind of contracts, the Deion Jones, all of that is behind us now. So they really had a chance this year to go out and spend some money. So you could dive into free agency, whether it was signing your own guys in the Caleb McGarry's or diving into the Jesse Bates and the Calais Campbells and guys like that. So we were able to do a lot more this offseason. Now this roster has, you know, again, its stamp on it. Again, Arthur Smith and his offensive style and philosophy is all over this roster. So big time offensive line, big time running backs, they have their blueprint now on this, but now they're able to bring in their pieces that they want and strengthen the core of this group.
And that makes total sense. And does this, I mean, from the quarterback perspective, obviously you guys got a young quarterback there. It feels like that's didn't take over at the helm, but I do want to maybe just ask from your perspective and being their boots on the ground in Atlanta, like, Does this feel like Desmond Ridder's team, or do you think that there is a situation in which Taylor Heinicke is potentially somehow the starter in week one?
No, I don't think there's any chance of that, but they feel like that they have a competent backup, that if something happens, say Desmond Ridder gets hurt, okay, and misses some time, they feel like a Taylor Heinicke can win them some football games. But make no mistake, this is Desmond Ridder's team, and he's, look, he only got a chance to play in the final four games of last season. But if you saw him, he got better week over week over week. So he struggled against the Baltimore Ravens in his first start, but by the time they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in his final start, they were a much better club, and he was much more comfortable. So now that he's had a full off season, obviously his rookie year kind of lost in some ways. We wished we would have seen him a little bit more, but now he's taken over this team. And again, with the weapons that they have on offense, whether it's Bijan Robinson, Jonnu Smith, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, again, their biggest thing is they have to be really good in the red zone. And I think Desmond Ridder is the smart, right type of quarterback to lead this offense, where he's not mistake prone. He's not going to be a guy who's reckless with the football, and he's going to protect the football and obviously be able to run this offense. And I think he gives him a great chance to win. This kid's a winner. Like, that's all he did in college, was take a Cincinnati program and elevate them into the college playoffs. I mean, so this kid is a winner through and through. There's a lot of belief and expectation for Desmond Ridder this year.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Desmond coming out of college there, and I thought that Atlanta got a steal with him and potentially the best quarterback in that draft for my money personally. But Atlanta was effective running the ball last year with Cordell Patterson and Tyler Allgeier for at many points. Like, now you guys got Bijan in the mix. I'm wondering, Bijan is obviously expected to get the lion's share of the things, but we also see that he's being incorporated a lot in the passing game, or expected to be incorporated a lot in the passing game. How do you kind of see that running back room kind of shaken out with Patterson and obviously Allgeier and now Bijan, who is obviously the dog, the king?
Well, the thing about Tyler Allgeier is he averaged 4.9 yards per rushing attempt last year. So he only started 7 games and he only had 210 carries, but he ran for 1,000 yards in that offense. Now really, 210 is not a very high number. I mean, when you have running backs that run it 350 to 400 times, that 210 number is not very big, and especially for a guy who didn't start most of the year. But he was very effective, 4.9 yards per carry, 3.6 yards per rush after first contact. So he's a guy that can be that bruiser that goes inside on you. Bijan Robinson is going to, it's not just his rushing yards, but it will be his all-purpose yards. Like you just mentioned about the idea of him coming out of the backfield. He'll catch you a lot of passes, but I really do believe that with their offensive line, and they are a top five rushing offensive line with McGarry, with Lindstrom, Dahlman, Bergeron's going to be their starting left guard more than likely, Jake Matthews. If you give at least a couple of hundred carries apiece to Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, I definitely think that they could be one of the few teams to have 2 1,000-yard rushers in an offense, two guys that run for 1,000 yards. Because, again, you look at Allgeier's numbers in just limited time, 1,000 yards. I mean, Bijan could do the exact same thing for this club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm also curious about the – because you talked about the weapons that Desmond Ridder has around him. I'm wondering when it comes to the tight end room. I was a really big fan of Jonnu Smith coming back over to rejoin Arthur Smith there in that tight end room with Kyle Pitts. How does that one work out in your mind? Do you see – I mean, there's been a lot of fantasy owners who have been frustrated with the way Kyle Pitts have been used at times, and now obviously probably not even nearly as big a fans as the Jonnu Smith addition as maybe the Falcons as a team are. But how do you kind of see that tight end room shaking out, and maybe how they're deployed, Jonnu and Kyle respectively?
Well, I think that one of the things that you will see is you will see Kyle Pitts split out wide in this offense. So that'll be one of the things where he may not be your necessarily wide receiver two, but he's going to get some chances to either be in the slot or spread out wide. So I think that's also where they're going to play him. And they'll make Jonnu that inline tight end where he'll just, run that slant up the field. But here's the thing, to your point though, and I'm not a fantasy football player, but I look at real football, and Kyle Pitts has been underwhelming. I mean, he's been a very underwhelming pick. Look, he had 1,026 yards his rookie year. Okay, that's nice. two touchdowns to go along with it. Look, if he's going to really make an impact and this team is going to get where it needs to be, he's got to be a Travis Kelce-like player. That means 100 catches, 1,400 yards, a dozen touchdowns. Because, again, you passed up on Penei Sewell and Micah Parsons to draft Kyle Pitts, two guys who have had a big influence on their rosters. It's no secret that Detroit has gotten better with Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson on their offensive and defensive lines. And Micah Parsons has just destroyed the league. He's just come in and just dominated the league. So you passed on those kinds of guys when you needed those kinds of players to draft a tight end. Okay, I'm fine with that. But Pitts has to be that Travis Kelce kind of numbers. He's got to impact and influence the game the way that Kelce does. Or you start to question about how good of a pick that was. Again, when you have a guy that plays 4 or 5 yards off the ball from the line of scrimmage, it's hard to influence the game. But he has got to be a guy that has that Travis Kelce-like influence. And that's where he's got to get into the big numbers. So I know everybody's impressed with the 1,000 yards, but again, 1,026 yards in 17 games. And he's obviously battled injuries last year, and he's going to be available week one, but he's not going to be available for training camp or preseason. And they expect him to start week one, but he's got to have that kind of influence to make that pick valuable for where the Falcons drafted him.
And building off of that one, I mean, you kind of alluded to this already, but do you think that Desmond Ridder has enough around him to succeed? Like between the offensive line, between the tight ends now, Bijan added to the mix, but you, I mean, you got Drake London, but I don't know after that if how much they're gonna, how much they love having Scotty Miller or whoever else as the number two. Like, does Desmond Ridder have enough around him to succeed this year?
Well, here's the thing. So number one is we have to see if this offensive line can pass block. Look, Chris Lindstrom is arguably the one or two best interior offensive linemen in the NFL. Jake Matthews is a better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. But again, McGarry's had his issues pass blocking. Dolman's an undersized center. Matthew Bergeron's a rookie. I know those guys, when they move north and south, they can run the football, but their pass blocking is still in question. Now, as far as the offense goes, you know, people talk about, well, the Falcons need another wide receivers. The Falcons have plenty of pass catchers. They were one of the least passing teams in the NFL. Look, this is not Matt Ryan dropping back 600 times in an offense. They threw it 413 times last year. You know, so they only attempted 413 passes. Again, they have plenty of pass catchers. The two running backs, Jonnu Smith, Pitts, Drake London, they've got guys who can catch the football. Where they have to make their bread is they have to become an elite red zone offense. They were 24th in Arthur Smith's first year. They were 14th in the NFL last year. They need to be a 67% touchdown percentage offense in the red zone to be an elite offense. And they need to be one of the top five or six offenses if this in the red zone, if this offense and this team is going to get where it needs to get. And they have every ability to do that, whether it's Pitts, London, Smith. You get those guys down, bunched up, down deep in the red zone, there's no reason why guys like that shouldn't thrive and feed off of what this offense can do.
Do you think that just with all those weapons and obviously the noise that Atlanta made in free agency, is this a team that we need to be talking about a little bit more, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I definitely. I mean, look, can they look? Here's the thing. Here's the big unknown. Can the Falcons win the NFC East this year? The NFC South. Yeah, absolutely. They can absolutely win the NFC South. Could any of those other teams, though, win the NFC South? Yes. I mean, there is so much unknown about the Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints. There's so much unknown. And even if you look at the Falcons schedule, think about how many teams are unknown on this schedule. Is Jacksonville going to be the same that they were last year? Is Detroit going to capitalize off of things? You look at some of the teams in the division. There's so many question marks. I mean, Tennessee and teams like that. Look, they don't play Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Like, they don't play those upper echelon teams. They have a last place schedule for a reason. And there are a lot of unknowns, the Bears and all those. I mean, you don't know anything about those teams. So why not the Falcons? I mean, again, if the Falcons can just be a steady ship, they can win a bunch of football games because, again, we look at Green Bay. What's Green Bay going to be? Like, it's, I mean, there's no more Aaron left in Green Bay, so what are they going to be? You know, they've got the pieces, but again, they don't have the trigger man. So there's so much unknown on the Falcons schedule this year that there's no reason why they can't take advantage of that schedule. Look, their win total is now 8.5. Their win total last year was 4.5 in Vegas. It's now 8.5. That's a very big jump. Definitely. In the NFL to go year over year and have that kind of a number attached to your team. You don't normally see doubling your win total year over year for Vegas betting odds. So there's no reason not to think that the Falcons couldn't be, you know, one of the better teams in the NFC South and certainly be a playoff team this year.
John, you've been awesome, man. I have one more left for you here before I let you go, though. ESPN's Michael Rothstein. Am I pronouncing that right?
Oh, yeah. It's Mike Rothstein. He's a friend of mine. Yeah.
That's awesome. He reported that wide receiver Josh Elliott was the standout from training camp this year. Who in your mind do we need to be talking about a little bit more heading into the season? Maybe it is a mini camp standout. I said from training camp, sorry. A standout from mini camp. Who in your mind do we need to be talking about more? Anyone from mini camp stick out to you personally?
Well, the number one guy that's got to make the big leap forward is Arnold Ebiketie. And he's got to be the guy that makes that big jump year over year. Look, you saw some signs. He can get to the quarterback. He only had 2 sacks, but he's got to be the guy. The big question for the Falcons is still, do we have that fire breather coming off the edge defensively? Mm. And this has been a team that, look, here's the stat of the day for you, okay? In the last 3 years combined, they've had 68 sacks. The Philadelphia Eagles this past season had 70, okay? So they've had 18, 21 over the last 2 years. You can't, again, if you can't do anything else defensively in the NFL, you have to sack the quarterback. And I've got a myriad of, listen, since 2016, 70% of the playoff teams have averaged 38 or more sacks. The last 14 Super Bowl participants have averaged 43.5 sacks. I could go on and on and on again about how important sacks are. So if you can't sack the quarterback, you won't be a playoff caliber defense in the NFL. And Arnold Ebiketie is the guy who's got to get off the edge and become that fire breather. If he's nothing more than a 4 or 5 sack guy, this team's going to have trouble. This team's going to have trouble because in a league that lets everybody throw it all over the field, you have to change up down and distance on your defensive line. And obviously getting to the quarterback is first and foremost. So that's still the big question. But Arnold Ebiketie, if he doesn't make that leap forward, then this defense is still probably going to have some problems to it.
Awesome. John, that's great, man. I appreciate all your insight, everything that you shine in the spotlight on these Atlanta Falcons and a team, like I mentioned at the top, team that I'm personally high on this year. And I hope that big things come for it. I'll probably be placing a couple bets on the Atlanta Falcons this year.
Absolutely. Let's bet your money on it, brother.
John, I appreciate the time, man. And best of luck the rest of the summer and heading into the season, man.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for having me on the show, I should say.
All right, and there you have it. As per John Chuckery, the Atlanta Falcons are a team that, in fact, we need to be talking about a little bit more. However, they obviously need some big-time jumps from some big-time players, including Desmond Ridder, including Kyle Pitts, including on the defensive side of the ball to get after the quarterback. This is a team that has a lot of balls floating in the air right now, but if they can all come together here, this is a team that really could make some noise this NFL season on what is one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. I want to say a big thank you to John Chuckery once again for hopping on here, what is the second installment of this summer series. Next up is the Baltimore Ravens, and we will be turning to another insider for that one. So looking forward to seeing you guys then. Thanks very much for tuning in to Outside the Gridiron. I'm Josh Frysam. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Outside the Gridiron with Josh Frysam. Follow Josh on Twitter and Instagram at JFRYSAM and leave us a review on iTunes. For more episodes, subscribe to Outside the Gridiron on your favorite podcast service.